All right, so good evening. This week's parasha is Parashat Mishpatim, but also, it's also Parashat Shekalim. It's the first of the series of four parashiot that we read around this time of the year, starting with Parashat Shekalim, and is also going to be Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, so we bring out, take out three Sifrei Torah, three separate Torah readings, the parasha, Parashat Shavua, Mishpatim, and then Rosh Chodesh, and then Shekalim. So let's talk about Shekalim for a second, or two, or three. And the reason why, first of all, let's discuss what exactly it is. So it's the portion of the Torah, Parashat Ki Tisa, that discusses the donations that the Bnei Israel gave to the Mishkan, towards the Mishkan, in the desert. Hashem commanded Moshe to command the Bnei Israel, the Jews, to each and every single Jew should give a half a shekel as a donation that will go towards the Mishkan. So what's the reason? So that's good. It's a beautiful passage in the Torah. Very nice. Speaks highly about, you know, Am Yisrael's generosity, so on and so forth. But why now? Why do we read it the Shabbat right before Rosh Chodesh Adar? Or, as in this year, we read it the Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why exactly do we read it? So there are a few reasons brought down. One reason that's brought down, a very simple one, is because traditionally, whenever we did have a Mishkan and we did have a Bet HaMikdash, so this used to be done every single year. Every single year, around this time of the year, they would go and collect a half a shekel from each and every single Jew towards the Mishkan. When exactly would they do that? So they would start to make announcements on Rosh Chodesh Adar. That's when they would start to make the announcements. When would they actually come around and collect that money? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 30 days later. So since on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they already started making the announcements, it only makes sense that we're going to read this portion of the Torah, the Shabbat right before Rosh Chodesh Adar, or the Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Adar. That's reason number one. Reason number two, which is what we're going to focus on a bit more, is a really beautiful Midrash. The Midrash says that Hashem knew very well that in the future, There's going to be this person named Haman. And Haman HaRasha was going to, he had a plan. He was going to have a plan. And that plan was that he's going to collect shekalim. He's going to collect 10,000 shekalim, okay? 10,000 coins on behalf of going to destroy and annihilate the Jewish nation. That was Haman's plan. That's what he wanted to do. And Hashem knew that this was going to happen. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He gave us an opportunity many years before that. Many years before that. He gave us an opportunity to do a mitzvah called Machzit HaShekel. And the idea behind it was that hopefully our donation of the Shekalim, of the Machzit HaShekel, will counteract the shekalim that Haman was raising on behalf of destroying Am Yisrael. So that means hundreds of years earlier, hundreds of years before the story of Purim even happened, Hashem knew what was going to happen. And Hashem laid in front of us an opportunity. He gave us a mitzvah. And he said, do this mitzvah. Why should we do this mitzvah? It seems so random. Don't ask questions, just do it. And Baruch Hashem, we did it. And because of that, we were zoche to a miracle on Purim. And we were saved from the horrible plan of Haman that he wanted to destroy us with his shekalim. Unbelievable. The big lesson that we could learn from this is that in life, we are always presented with opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So do a mitzvah. Do a chesed. Someone knocks on your door, asks you for money. You think he's the person that's coming to you ask for money? No. Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending him to you. He's giving you an opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity. You know why? Because you never know. You never know when that mitzvah is going to come and pay you back for something further down the line. Unbelievable. But the question is, what exactly is the significance of Machzit HaShekel? What was it all about? What does it mean for us? We always like to discuss things, maybe sometimes maybe a little lofty, but always, always to bring it down and maybe to learn some lessons in our own personal Avodat Hashem, in our own personal daily life. And what can we learn from this mitzvah of Machzid HaShekel? It doesn't really apply anymore. We don't have this mitzvah. Unfortunately, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. Bezrat Hashem, we should soon be zoche to bring the Machzid HaShekel in the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. Should be very, very soon. But we don't. So what lessons can we learn from this? And not only that, in what way was our half a shekel more powerful than Haman's 10,000 shekelim? We only gave a half a shekel. He had 10,000. On top of that, why were we only commanded to give a half a shekel? Why not a whole? Round it off, one shekel. Why only a half? Let's get into Purim for a little bit. Since it's Rosh Chodesh Adar tonight, what exactly was the significance? We know that the Am Yisrael sinned, the Bnei Yisrael of the time, they sinned by going to the Seuda of Achashverosh, going to the Mishteh, the party of Achashverosh. They sinned, and because of that, you know, we deserve to be destroyed. What exactly was that sin all about? What was so bad about it? So let's understand it with the following introduction. Very fundamental concept. The concept of a Mishkan. What's the concept of a Mishkan, of a Beit HaMikdash? Why is it the holiest place on earth? Why did Hashem insist on us building for Him a Mishkan? The Midrash tells us that Hashem wanted a home on this world. Obviously, we know Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right? Like the song goes. But Hashem wanted a home. Instead of just being all over the place, Hashem wanted a home. That was the idea behind the Mishkan. But what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us that Hashem wanted us to bring Hashem down into this world? It means for us today that it's our job on this world to bring Hashem down into every single aspect of our lives. That's why it says, Ve'asu li mikdash, and you should make for me a mikdash, Ve'shachanti, and I shall dwell betocham, in them. I shall dwell in them. And the Midrash tells us, why does it say in them? There's only one Mishkan. It should have said betocho, in it, singular. Why does it say in them? And it teaches us, because Hashem wants to dwell inside of each and every single one of us. How does Hashem dwell inside of each and every single one of us? When we bring Hashem down into our lives, into every aspect of our lives. To walk on the street and to see Hashem in every aspect of life. To think about Hashem while doing everyday actions during the day. What this shows us, the significance of this, is that it shows us that even the little actions in life are really big when you connect them to Hashem. You could be doing something so mundane, so small, so insignificant, so physical. But if you connect it to Hashem, if you bring Hashem down into that action, it's the holiest thing on earth. It's not small anymore, it's big. When you eat, how do you eat? You make a bracha before you eat. What you do, if you make a bracha before you, what you do is, you take this small, physical, mundane, animalistic action and you elevate it to a spiritual one. You take it from being small to big. When you sleep, there are halachot surrounding how you should sleep, what direction, you know, what direction your bed should be, what position you should sleep in, how long you should sleep, saying Shema Yisrael before you sleep, saying Modei Ani when you wake up. There are halachot, there are mitzvot surrounding every moment in your life. When you sleep, why am I sleeping? Am I sleeping because I want to enjoy myself? Am I sleeping so I should gain some strength, so I could do more mitzvot during the daytime? So I could go and help my parents, so I can go and help my children, so I can go and help my wife, so I can go and study, so I can go and learn Torah, so I can go and pray. Why am I sleeping? What you do when you attribute your sleep to something spiritual, when you bring Hashem down into your sleep, you're taking something so mundane and elevating. That's the pshat. That's why the question is asked, you know, in the morning we say Birkat HaTorah. What's Birkat HaTorah? Birkat HaTorah in the morning, that's a bracha that we make before, we cannot learn Torah before we make Birkat HaTorah in the morning. It's part of Birkat HaShachar. We cannot learn Torah. Now, what happens when you go to sleep at night? So you take your mind off of Torah. Since you take your mind off of Torah, when you wake up, what do you need to do? You need to make a new bracha because you took your mind off of it. Anytime you find yourself in a place that is empty from Torah, technically speaking, you would need to recite a new Birkat HaTorah. So the question is, when you go to the bathroom, are you allowed to learn Torah in the bathroom? Absolutely not. So why is it? Have you ever seen someone come out of the bathroom? You know, for a couple of minutes, he's in the bathroom. He did not learn Torah, did not think of Torah. You're not allowed to. He comes out, he says a bracha v'asher yatzar, and then he says, you know what? Torah was absent from my life for 2 or 3 minutes, therefore I need to recite a new Birkat HaTorah. And he says a new Birkat HaTorah. And then once again, 2 hours later, he goes to the bathroom for 2-3 minutes. Again, have you ever seen such a thing? No. The question is why? Why don't you recite a new Birkat HaTorah? And the answer brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan, something unbelievable. He said, because even in the bathroom, the dirtiest of places, they're halachot. How you go to the bathroom. How you carry yourself in the bathroom. How you wash your hands afterwards. They're halachot. A person should never be empty of Torah. Even in the bathroom. Even when he's sleeping. Even when he's eating. That's what it means that you bring Hashem down into the smallest of actions, the smallest of places. The whole concept of the machatzita shekel, Hashem told us, don't bring a whole, bring half. What was the message? The message was, Hashem was telling us, think small. Think small. Why? Because everything small is really big. Every small action is really big. Appreciate even the smallest of actions. That's why when Hashem commanded Moshe to bring the machatzita shekel, Rashi quotes the Midrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. He didn't know, what do you mean by this machatzita shekel? And the Midrash says that Hashem showed him a matbea shel esh. He showed him an image of the machatzita shekel coin in the form of a fire. And what's going on over here in this Midrash? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. And Hashem answered the question by showing him a coin of fire. What does that mean? So what the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. What does it mean, didn't know? He didn't understand, why is it? Why is this half a shekel so valuable to you, Hashem? And Hashem showed him, it's not about the value of that half coin. It's not about the financial, the monetary value. It's about the fire. Fire represents passion and will and desire. And when you bring passion and will and desire into even the smallest of actions, that's what elevates it to make it something holy. Haman always thought big. As the saying goes, go big or go home. Where did that come from? Haman. What does that mean? It came from Haman. He was never happy with what he had. There's no such thing as a small action for Haman. He wasn't happy with even the smallest of actions. He needed big. He needed them to be grand. Because if it's not grand, it's worthless. It's worthless. Where do we see that with Haman? Every single person that he walked by bowed down to him. Except for Mordechai. Except for Mordechai. The only one that didn't bow down to him. So a normal person would be so happy. Listen, 99.9.9999 of the population, percent of the population, is bowing down to me. All right. Only, you know, think about it. You know, any NBA player who you know, shoots 99% from the foul line. Phew. Amazing. He does that for his whole career. Hall of Famer. Right? He'll be very, very happy. Haman wasn't happy. Why wasn't he happy? He didn't appreciate the small things. He was never satisfied. He needed Mordechai to bow down also. If you go to our parasha, Parashat Nishpatim, what's our parasha all about? It's all about very mundane laws. We have the laws of someone who someone who lends someone some money, a loan. We have laws, monetary laws of the four Dalet Shomrim, the four watchmen, someone who watches an item for money, not for money, for free, a renter, a borrower, someone who damages someone else, someone whose animal damages someone else, how much you have to pay, slaves, I own slaves, when do they go free, loans, etc., so on and so forth. The idea is, what's so holy about the, what's this all about? The idea is that you're bringing Hashem into your everyday life, into every aspect of life. That's why it's brought down that the holiest tefillah, the biggest etratzon, the biggest opportunity for your tefillah to get answered, is during which tefillah? Shacharit, mincha, or arvit? Mincha. Why mincha? Because during mincha, shacharit is the first thing you wake up. The first thing you do when you wake up, you pray shacharit. You have a clear mind, no big deal. Arvit, you're done with your day, everything is finished, everything is behind you. You have nothing else to do, you pray arvit. Mincha, smack in the middle of the day. Smack in the middle of the day. You have this business deal in your mind, you have that business deal, you have this operation if you're a doctor, you have this operation, this client, this patient if you're still in school, this class, that class, this reading, this homework, this assignment, this essay. And in the middle you say, whoa, 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 whoa. I need to bring Hashem down into my life, even though I'm doing the most physical of things humanly possible. Mincha, oh, you took some time out of your day to pray mincha. Psh, the biggest etvatzon. That was the significance, guys, of the Jews benefiting from the Seudah v'Achashverosh. They went to a casual party and they ate and they drank. What's the big deal? The food was even kosher. They had kosher catering over there. Yeah? Kosher catering with an OU. But they did mundane things and they did not bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into their lives. They did mundane things for the sake of doing mundane things. That's why one of the main mitzvot of Purim is what? The day of Purim is what? Dafka to what? If you ask me, it's the most physical, mundane of holidays. What do? The entire day? We eat and we drink and we eat a little more and we drink a little more. Eat a little more, drink a little more. What's pshat? Yom Purim, according to the Zohar Kadosh, is an even holier day than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day, wow, we're so spiritual. We're not eating, we're not drinking, we're praying the entire day, we're so spiritual. But the Zohar Kadosh says, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. That is just like Purim. When you say something is just like something else, it means that the second thing is on a higher level. Purim is on a higher level than Yom Kippur, says the Zohar Kadosh. Why? Because, yeah, it's easy to be spiritual when you're disconnecting yourself from everything in this world. Big deal. Big deal. Judaism does not promote isolating yourself, living in a cave, fasting for 40 days at a time, not eating, not drinking, not being married, and just learning Torah all day. The Torah does not promote that. The Torah spends many, many, many psukim teaching you how to eat, how to act, how to get married, how to talk to another person, what happens if someone damages you, what happens if you damage someone else, monetary matters. The Torah wants us to be out there in the world. But when we are out there in the world, to never go 1 second without understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with me in my everyday life. That's the idea behind our parasha, Parashat Mishpatim. That's the idea behind the Machatzit HaShekel, only a half. Hashem said, bring me only a half. I want you to understand the importance and the significance of just a half a coin. And yes, that half a coin overpowered Haman's 10,000 coins. To show you the significance, when a person appreciates the value of small things, it will end up taking him to a very, very, very big place. That's the idea behind the Machatzit HaShekel. That's the significance behind it. And that's what Purim is all about. It's the most physical of all holidays. But according to some, the holiest of all holidays. For that reason. So it's something, an opportunity for us. Any day, anyway, we eat every day. We sleep every day. Anyways, these are things that we do anyways. So why not just attribute them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why not just channel them to Hashem? When you eat, before you eat, remember, where's this food coming from? Say Baruch Ata Hashem, Borei Min HaMizanot. After you say Birkat HaMazon, after you eat bread, remember, wow, that was delicious. Let me thank God for it. And what you do when you do those things, what happens is that you uplift and you elevate everything that you just did to a very, very holy place. So Hashem should help us, Bezrat Hashem, that we should understand and attribute every aspect of our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect to Hashem in every moment of our day. Every moment of our day, even the most physical of actions. Connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with whatever we're doing. Bezrat Hashem, we don't have the Machzid HaShekel anymore. We don't have that mitzvah. But what we do have is the Matbi'ah Shel Esh. We do have the coin of fire, the passion. We have the passion. Fire represents passion. We have the passion of this mitzvah. And the passion of this mitzvah is understanding and appreciating even the smallest of things. Because small is really big. Small is really big. And in the zechut of this, as we tie it back to everything we said all the way in the beginning, that the Machzid HaShekel ended up helping and saving Am Yisrael hundreds of years further down the line. And when you understand that that's what happened over there, then you'll understand that every single mitzvah that you do and every opportunity that you were given to do a mitzvah, who even knows when that's going to come back to protect you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We never know. So we should all be okay, we should all be healthy, we should all be safe, we should all be zoche, Bezrat Hashem, that this coming Purim and Pesach would bring the Machzid HaShekel, in the Beit HaMikdash that should be rebuilt speedily in our days. Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov to everyone.